Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this, what is it, Saturday, July? Well, we're not in July, September 30th. Edition 2023 edition of Radio Law Talk. I'm Todd Kunin, sitting in for Fred Penny, who's on assignment. Denise Dirk's on assignment, so sitting in her usual position of prominence and gearing up with the scornful looks to take Denise's place. It usually happens every time I even come close to telling a joke. Is Garrett Penny. Garrett, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Good to be back. I always love when I get to sit in and visit.
Yeah, we love having you here. We're gonna talk a little bit about the law. We're gonna get into a little bit of a discussion about law, prep to become a lawyer, undergrad work, and I like it when Garrett comes here because we can talk about things that are like, what is different?
You mean things that are actually applicable in life?
Yeah, things. What is different about being a lawyer from something that is common to being a lawyer that you never would have thought before you were a lawyer? We'll get into that, but we also have the smooth, silky sounds, the voice behind the glass. Cal?
Dulcet would be here. But thank you, Todd. Hey, good morning, everyone. So, Garrett, you have been a lawyer for how long?
4 years.
That seems like a long time.
It seems like yesterday.
How long did it take you to get from high school senior to getting your jurisprudence and then your actual ticket?
Well, so it's 4 years undergrad, which I did in 4 years, which is traditional, and then 3 years of law school, and then I passed the bar short. So I guess I graduated in May, studied April, May, June, July, took it in July, and found out in November.
8 years.
Yeah.
I love what he said there. 4 years of undergrad work, which I did in 4 years, which is traditionally. Notice the word traditional there.
Yeah, I like that.
Unlike folks like me, I got my 4-year degree. Let's see, I graduated in high school in 1986, got my degree in 95.
Yeah.
I had a few detours along the way.
It's very rare do you find someone that does it in 4 years nowadays. It's always five.
Oh, yeah. There's so much that, depending on the school that you go to, you got these prerequisites and that you have to take, and then you're competing sometimes with folks that all want to take the same class. You ever have that where you go to register for a class, it's a core class, you know you need it to get your degree, and you're online, and this is back in the early days of online for me, back in the 90s, but you'd schedule and you'd wait, and you'd have to find out in the mail whether you got the into the class that you wanted to get into.
Oh, I could see, I remember, you could see how many people were in the class, how many people were on the waiting list, and the problem was the athletes got priority, so they were first, they always got their classes, and then seniors and juniors, sophomores, freshmen. And the best way you could do it is if you knew an athlete or you knew a senior, they would get on the class, and then they would drop in, and you'd jump on at the same time.
Oh, good one.
So if you knew that, then you can get in.
So even then, you learned how to game the system.
Yeah, just practice for what I do now.
Well, I wonder what it's like now in college with the transfer portal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, an athlete had the spot, but then he played less than 50% of the snaps during the season, and so the next thing you know, he's playing on the other side of the country, right?
Yeah.
So can people prepare to get a law degree by going to junior college first? Because that's the recommended these days to save money on the crazy cost of college. It's either get a great scholarship or start at a JC or something local or closer to home.
The funny thing about a JD is I think it's one of those only careers where your undergrad doesn't matter. I mean, I took Spanish as my major and family life as my minor. Why? Because Spanish, I learned Spanish, so it was easy classes for me. And then I had, because I tested out of, you know, 20 credits of Spanish, I had to take a minor. So I took family life minor. So it was the quickest, easiest one I can get the best grades.
That is hilarious. I did the same thing. Only it wasn't Spanish. It was, I have my degree in Japanese.
Yeah.
And I already spoke Japanese, and so it was the quickest way for me to get my degree. But I did the undergrad route. Cal was talking about undergrad. So I knocked out, this was something I'm trying to tell my kids. Look, there are certain classes that you're going to need to get your degree,
yes,
regardless of what you major in. And quite frankly, if you could get those core classes out of the way for pennies on the dollar if you take it at your local community college, as opposed to, well, you get the university experience. I have a friend of mine whose daughter is at TC. Two friends of mine whose daughters are at TCU, and you know they're living the sorority life, and they've got all that, but the parents are paying through the nose so that somebody could take English 101. I'm pretty certain they teach English 101 at the community
at
college.
At Riverside Community College or wherever you live, right? And that's the thing. Is it expensive then? Therefore, because my daughter was a scholarship at Houston. She went all the way through on a scholarship from there to get her JD. That was not a difficult college experience to pay for because it was free. They did it, you know, they gave it to her. But if you just pay out of pocket, I mean, I presume that's what you did, Todd. You just said, I'm gonna do this. Or how did that work for you financially?
I had to sell my soul to the devil to get, otherwise known as student loans.
Oh, by the way, somebody's knocking at the door. He's in a red suit with a pitchfork.
Yes. You know, every time I click my heels together three times and say, I summon thee, the student loan advisor comes over to my house. So I racked up student loans for undergrad and then law school as well. And, I mean, that was kind of the trade-off. For me, that was back in the era where your parents can't keep you on your health insurance and all that to the age of 26, and you got all of this. And so for me, early on, my parents stopped claiming me on their income tax. They stopped claiming me as a dependent when I was 19 years old, 19, 20 years old along in there. And of course, you can only claim up to five kids, and my parents had seven, so I was one of the
first ones.
I was one of the leftovers anyway. But the benefit for me in doing that was I was filing my own taxes early on, and so when I went to apply for student loans, mine was the only income they looked at. So yeah. I mean, there was no shortage of we'll loan you money and. We'll loan you money on this naive kid. Oh, you'll loan us money? You mean I'll get this and I won't have to work? Great, yeah. Will you agree to 8% interest?
Sure,
whatever. What's that? What's interest? Nobody's interested in me. I don't even date. You know?
Where do I sign?
Yeah. But, we'll keep talking a little bit about this. I'm curious about, you know, what. It doesn't matter what you major in as long as you have your degree, but there are probably some things you could do to prepare yourself for law school if you had a little bit of foresight. It's just tough because contextually, who knows what being a lawyer is going to be like when you're 20 and stuff. But we also have to get to case or no case. This is Cal, is this another double point?
Double point Saturday. And Garrett, for whom are you playing first hour, Fred or Denise? It's your choice.
I'll stick with Frederico.
Good man. Stick with the man who signs the big check.
Yeah, that's right. Signs the paycheck.
And Cal, we probably don't have enough time to get him. I mean, we're only a minute out. You can give us a tease.
We're going to talk about the woman who designed all of the little logos and screen icons for the very first Apple computers, and a little dispute that might have come up over that.
Interesting. Yeah. So we'll do that when we come back, and then we've got a lot to talk about later on, including what I'm just going to call some cases that reminded me of the movie Weekend at Bernie's.
But enough about the presidential campaign.
Oh, wow.
It was easy.
Don't go away. We'll be back with more Radio Law Talk in just a moment.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk on many great local radio stations all around the country, coast to coast. And, of course, now our stream is up on RadioLawTalk.com. Wherever you're listening, all we can say is thank you and stay tuned.
Explain what happened. advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man aged 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man aged 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com and live.
What has that got to do with anything?
Everything.
Oh, come on.
This is a great time to call the show. 855-LAW-RADIO. That's 855-LAW-RADIO.
Two things during the break. Number one, I noticed the zingers sitting on the chair next to me.
I feel like a drug dealer.
That Todd Cuden has brought in. One is missing, but two are still sitting there. And he knows that I'm on my intermittent fasting. I can't eat till noon. And it's 9:20 and 16 seconds. I'm decked.
Well, I'll just hide them underneath.
Oh, there we go.
So you won't be able to see. Now it's like you don't even know they're there until I go to eat one.
What, my grapes don't entice you?
No. Well, anyway.
Alex, I'll take statements from the Garden of Eden for $3,000, please.
Is that a double jeopardy?
What the fig is going on here?
So, no, but I do. Your muffin looks pretty good.
Cal, if we do not have that saved as a soundbite, this show is just...
Okay, let's write it down.
Aren't we?
The date is 9/23/2023.
Make a note that we're 21 minutes in.
By 21 minutes in. Okay. Yeah.
What, my grapes don't entice you?
Stop. Okay, come on, let's go back, Cal.
Okay.
Stop laughing.
Tragedy in Iowa. A young man is sucked into a machine with an auger as he was trying to clear it, and it pulled his arms right off his body.
No.
His arms were put back on, surgically reattached, not fully functional, but he has them, which was more than he had before, obviously. And then the question is, did he sue Massey Ferguson, the farm implement dealer who made the machine because they did not provide adequate safeguards, warnings, etc.? That was the core issue in this. Case or no case. And Denise, you get double points, so the pressure's on you. You get to go first.
Yeah, she has to go first.
It could have been altered, too. You know, it was an auger. And augers are the ones that dig holes real deep,
the answer is yes or no.
Yeah.
Having an auger in something that you put, like it could be like a machine that you just drop something into it and there's the auger inside of it.
Instead of a conveyor belt, the lips on the auger pull the material in.
Pull the material in,
like an Archimedean screw, only sideways.
Yeah, it's like a screw. Yeah.
And he had his arms reattached in 1992.
Yeah, actually 93 when they got it done. Took him a little while to finish the surgeries. So what do you think, case or no case?
Well, I think it would be a really good case. I think he would have, if they didn't have any protective gear on the auger, I do think that would be a really good case. But something is telling me that it's not a case, and I'm just going to go with my gut.
All right. Denise going with her great spread. What do you think? Case or no case?
It's a case, and there are issues with having guards on particular things, and not only that, there's warning labels that need to be on there also. So I believe that this is a case. It occurred. I'm going to say he won, and it's probably a precedent-setting a case about whatever that manufacturer type of, I don't know what type of auger it is, but they have to have all types of guards. Not just guards. There's got to be areas where they can hit shutoffs. So say you're reaching in there, you have your arms going, uh-oh, crap, I'm going in. Yet there's got to be a shutoff that you can hit right there as you're going in.
But a lot of farmers say, well, I took that junk off. I mean, they do.
Well, that's a different thing.
That makes a good point about it possibly being modified.
If it's modified, he didn't say that. So modified is a different story.
No,
if it was modified, then he would probably lose.
Okay, Todd, that's where Fred is. He's saying it's a case because, look, they didn't do their diligence or their proper duty, shall we say. What do you think about this?
Was this his farm he owned the auger, or was he working for somebody else?
Family farm, mom and dad.
Family farm, mom
19,
and dad.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to be honest. I agree with Denise. I think that this is as tragic as it is. I think it's a true story, and I have no doubt that maybe they contacted Massey Ferguson. But I don't think that this resulted in a lawsuit being filed.
Okay, let me ask you this: if it were your child, do you think you would exhaust every remedy possible to you, including going to see a lawyer? Like
did you
that?
Say this was in Idaho?
Iowa.
Okay, because I know you're from Idaho. I say it might be someone you might have known.
Feet. Okay, let me tell you.
Let's go through this.
Yeah. It's interesting because I have a friend of mine who, in the state of Idaho, was pulled into a cherry picker, almost killed him.
Wow.
And then I have another friend of mine in the state of California that was pulled into a corn harvester,
ooh,
almost killed. And so, you know.
And this was an auger used to transport.
Nice to be your friend, huh?
So the pig feed, like you're familiar with the silage.
Pit. Right.
So they would dump the silage in a trailer, go over to this auger, dump the material into the auger, and would pump it up into the holding area of the pig farm. So, yeah, it was a pretty complex piece of equipment. And Todd, so you say no case.
I say no case.
Denise, you say no case.
I say case.
Fred says case. Well, here's the story. This is an absolutely true story. You can look it up. You can see the pictures of the poor guy with scar tissue from his elbows up over his shoulders. And as far as I could tell, and I researched it and made a couple of phone calls to Iowa as well, no lawsuit was ever filed.
Wow.
What was filed was a major insurance claim, which Massey Ferguson paid, and a disability claim. So this young man has disability.
Wait a minute.
And that has to be a case.
That's a case. Let's back up. That's a case. Yeah.
No, they didn't file it through a lawyer. They just filed it through the insurance
company. They paid on it, so that's a case.
But it wasn't a lawsuit. They tendered a claim to the insurance company. It was uncontested. They paid. I don't think that's a case.
They paid the limit of the policy.
Oh, so no case was filed, but they settled.
Right. They paid the limit to the policy. They said, it's a legitimate claim. And
I didn't bring a case, but I settled with the insurance company with my lawyer prior to it.
Didn't have a lawyer.
Nobody knows that the lawyer was.
Did they have a lawyer?
His mom and pop called the insurance agent who was in their town. He advocated for them, went to the state. And by the way, I think out of this came at least a proposal to establish a farm disability fund in Iowa. I don't know if they did
I'm researching this during the time period.
I'll tell you the guy's name. His name is John Thompson. The year is 1992. And as near as I can tell, no case was filed. And like I said, I looked it up and Googled it pretty extensively and made a couple of phone calls, called a friend of mine back there. And we just don't know. So, yeah, we know that no legal case was filed, but an insurance claim was.
So all right.
Oh, wow.
All right. All right, we'll be back after this. Cal, just take us out.
Yeah, I will. And I will tell you.
Can't hear you. Go ahead.
We're having a case or no case next hour, and that will be a guy in Flathead Lake, Montana, who said, "You can't call me. I'm really dead." That's coming up on Radio Law Talk. Don't go away.
You turn on Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk. For legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
USA News
update.
We're working side by side to combat arms trafficking.
As illegal aliens continue to walk right into our country from Mexico, President Biden sitting down with the president of that country for a one-on-one meeting. USA's John Schaefer now with details.
President Biden sat down with the president of Mexico Friday during a bilateral meeting in San Francisco.
Nothing is beyond our reach, in my view.
Biden said the two nations are collaborating to tackle long-standing migration issues and combat the trafficking of fentanyl.
Now, as for the potentially deadly fentanyl pouring in over the southern border, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says China reportedly has agreed to a crackdown.
Not only did they publish a notice to all of their companies that this is forbidden, this is going to have a clear and positive impact on communities across our country.
Blinken sitting down with ABC News. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Where's Fred?
Are you people out of your mind?
Radio Lotta. I like that show.
Now it's time for more Radio Lotta.
So my never-ending quest to try to guess what the source of the sound bites are. I mean, not the kitty bumps we've had forever, but the others. Are you people out of your mind? That sounds like Joy Bear from The View.
Oh, good one. It was Judge Judith Shandlin.
Okay. All right.
I have no idea who you're talking about on anything.
Judge Judy.
Yeah, I know Judge Judy.
Don't tell me that wasn't required watching in law school. Come on.
Oh, yes, it's so accurate and realistic.
Yeah.
Hey, but she's making good money.
Oh, no kidding. I mean,
$22 million a year, that's all?
Yeah.
You know. She'll get by.
I mean, that's almost what I made as a law clerk.
I was just saddened that she
fired
Bert.
Minus 340s.
What's that?
She fired Bert for her new show.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the bailiff?
Yeah, fired him.
Wasn't there some sort of scandal there?
I don't know what it was.
I think there was something.
Well, no, there was another one. There was another one. It was a big. I saw this one. It was somebody was lecturing one of the plaintiff about so and so, and they said, look at the bailiff. He is, he's married.
Oh,
he has these problems.
That's right.
And the guy goes, yeah, well, he never smiles. He doesn't look happy. And in the last 6 months, that bailiff has been arrested for murdering his spouse.
Yes, that's what it was.
It's like, wow, comments did not age well.
This explains the unhappiness. All right, so
there are case or no case, Cal. Get us to it.
Susan Kare.
Yeah.
Designed a lot of the early artwork for the early Macintosh computers. A lot of it. In 1982, she was asked to design the typeface and screen elements for Apple, the Chicago typeface, all the icons on the original Macintosh computer. I asked if she went back at them afterward and said, you guys going to pay me or what? And the company said, no, we won't pay you, but we will hire you. And she said, good, I like that more than stock options. It sounds more stable.
Right? Mistake.
Yeah. So yeah, she got the income, and now she has displays all over the country in museums and so on. So yeah, Susan Kare did fine for herself. Apple did it. There was no case ever filed. So both of you get a couple of points, or 4 points, right? No, wait. Bob, you get four. You get.
Yeah, I said a case, then you should get some money.
All right, next time, have you ever been driving down the freeway and a gravel truck showers your car with stones, messing up your paint and your windshield and all of that? That's what our next case or no case is about next hour. Now back to the show, guys.
Back to the show. I shouldn't laugh. I really shouldn't laugh.
You know?
Well, what if somebody says comedy, tragedy plus time equals comedy? I don't know if there's been enough time for it to be comedic, but there's a...
That's why many comedians say, oh, too soon?
Too soon? Too soon? In Texas, there is a mortuary. Mortuary is being sued because couldn't you just see like Abbott and Costello or any two bumbling, any of these where there's some sophisticated crime going on, but they have the two bumbling idiots that are always messing it up. Well, an individual died in the state of Texas back in 2021.
That happens.
And the family, and he was older, 69 years old, and the family called a mortuary to come and pick up the body, and they sent over another mortuary to pick up the body, and they sent two younger individuals. And the claim, I believe, of the son was that the two individuals came, they went in, they took the body, they put it up on the gurney or stretcher or whatever, and then they wheeled it out, and I think they had to negotiate some stairs. They wheeled it out, the son closes the door, and after closing, I think this is a key fact, because it's a lack of actual witness of what happened. Closes the door, after closing the door, here's a
dun,
thump,
dun, 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 thump,
followed by a bunch of other thumps.
Oh, no.
It's like, well, he fell. Well, he's down now. Let's just drag him down the steps. Ding, 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 all the way down.
Like Home Alone.
Yes. At which point, the son looks out the window and claims that he sees one of the two individuals hunkering over the body, trying to protect it so other people can't see, and trying to get some sort of covering over the body. And when they went to... I believe it was the funeral, the family noticed that there was
dents and bruising.
Dents and bruising, which I thought was
wow,
interesting.
How can it bruise after the guy's deceased, Todd?
See, that was what Gary, and I get the dents. See, it's smart. If they had said bumps and bruising, I'd say no way.
Yeah,
because a bump would be the body's process of protecting the area and stuff. When that's not going to happen, so you have a dent. But the bruising is what was concerning to me about the claim of the plaintiffs, because, you know, bruising is the bruising that you see is the body actually moving. You've got broken capillaries and stuff, and it's the oozing out of the blood and sending blood to the areas, which all takes, in my estimation, blood pressure in order for that to happen.
A beating heart.
And blood pressure, which is caused by a beating heart.
Yeah.
But if the heart's not beating, there's no blood pressure.
But there's still blood in the veins and arteries. They could not necessarily spew out, so I could bruise so quick, but ooze out, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe not a lot. Big bruising. I don't know. Maybe it's a bad makeup job.
That was the other thing, is if there was bruising, you'd think that the mortuary would be I mean, look, if they can make a Kardashian,
oh man,
look the way they look. Yeah, just get out the spackle. You know, they didn't fill in any dents.
Were you about to say get out the spackle?
I mean, they do that stuff all the time. They use a material called mortician's wax. They do it all the time. They're very good at it. God bless morticians. They provide a great service. But man, this is a tough case.
So when you go to your mortician and the mortician says, hey, we can also wax the body, talking about filling in holes.
Right, exactly.
They're not getting them ready for the beach
buffing,
or anything.
Just waxing.
Yes. So, anyway, here's the deal. Here's the deal. The mortuary is now being sued for $1 million. $1 million. And what's the primary cause of action in a case like this? I mean, it's not damages for injury or anything because the dude was dead. What's the primary cause of action?
It has to be emotional damage, right? Yeah. To the family.
It's the negligent infliction of emotional distress. And to a certain extent, I suppose they could try to do intentional infliction of emotional distress.
That's a hard one.
Those are hard ones. And I don't remember a lot from law school because it was so long ago. But I do remember that for an intentional infliction of emotional distress claim, there's very few times, very difficult to get. But one of them is in the handling of the deceased by mortuaries. They're the one that is the, the most prone to be subject to that, right? And it's because it usually arises in a case when a mortuary cuts corners, the family finds out about it, and oh my gosh, what did you do with the body?
Yeah, they get in a hurry, something like that. It's so, Garrett, would you take that case?
Probably not.
Todd, would you?
No, it would be...
It's a hard sell.
Yeah, it's not that there's no... That the case wouldn't be warranted. Anything. It's not that there's no cause of action there. It's just, it is pretty tough. For me, the biggest thing is this gap between what actually happened and what they think happened. And then this, look, I approach things from a prosecutor's standpoint. You know, when the two guys got there and picked up the body, it was already covered. They took it out, and now they're claiming that the bruises that were observable on the body must have happened after the body allegedly fell over. Well, from a defense standpoint, I'm looking at that going, wait a minute. If those bruises were there, they were there before, and you're claiming it was after so that you can avoid any liability for what happened. Because now, I mean, if they're fixing his body and they find bruising all over the place, somebody could look at that and say, did this have anything to do with the cause of death? And how were you treating Grandpa before he died?
Yeah.
So now it's an elder abuse issue.
Well, and the bruises are not necessarily impact. There are some diseases that when the blood settles in the body, it leaves discoloration. So they could have come from all kinds of places.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
That's a tough one, but you know, we'll see. We'll see if that one comes back on our radar later on. The lawsuit's just getting started. Don't go away. We're got more Radio Law Talk after this.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk on many outstanding radio stations all across America, of course, and many of you on RadioLawTalk.com, and we thank you for doing so. We'll be right back with much more Radio Law Talk after we break away.
On Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It seems like every day economic news gets more and more sketchy. We're already seeing huge volatility in the stock market and a rapid erosion in the value of the U.S. dollar. But this time, an economic downturn could happen faster than you ever imagined. Direct Bullion USA, America's number one precious metals company, wants to let you know that now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Direct Bullion USA at 888-787-GOLD and get your free gold investor kit today. Don't wait. Call Direct Bullion USA now at 888-787-4653 and get your free gold and silver survival kit. With all of the uncertainty of a world gone mad, you can take control of your financial future with one call to Direct Bullion USA. Call us now at 888-787-4653. That's 888-787-GOLD.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Round up the usual suspects.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
All right, I'm feeling old. Feeling old, Cal. I made a reference to a movie, and Garrett looked at me like, what's that? So, Cal, you're familiar with the movie Weekend at Bernie's?
Of course.
Okay, this is the one where, what's the basic plot?
The premise is they haul around a dead guy, making people think he's alive so they can party at his house.
Yeah, and
kind of a frat movie.
Yeah, people see him, and they've got him dressed up, and it's all the shots of others. Anybody they want him to see alive, as long as it's far away, they can, like, prop up his hand and make him wave and do stuff. But the funny thing is, like, one of the funny things are all the crazy stuff that happens to the body, like when it falls off a balcony or gets catapulted or stuff like that. They bring, oh, Bernie's okay, you know, and but he's really dead. He's really dead, and
not dead yet.
Yes, Monty Python, bring out your dead. I'm not allowed to go not for a walk. You're not fooling anyone. Okay, so there's a hospital that is being accused of having a Weekend at Bernie's moment. And the moment here is
at a hospital.
Yes, apparently a surgery had been performed on as the family alleges, and looking at medical records and comparing time of death on medical records versus time of death on the official death certificate, and so this woman went in for a procedure and she died. Okay.
She was supposedly healthy, and yeah, it can be routine, if you can call any surgery routine.
Yeah, they were doing a valve replacement via a catheter, and that is pretty complex, but yes, it's still routine. It requires special training, but it is routine. Yeah.
And so due to complications or what have you, she was on life support, so the family thought. And so the family comes in at, family comes in right around 3:05 p.m. on the day in question, right? They come in, and the family makes the decision to take this woman off of life support, and she dies, and that is the time of death is listed on the death certificate. But Garrett, what's the anomaly here as it relates to the time of death?
Well, the operative report apparently says she died 2 hours earlier, and they have her listed as being, they claim that she was, quote-unquote, fake dead for those 2 hours. I don't know what that means. Or, sorry, fake alive.
Yeah.
Fake alive.
So the medical records say she died at 1. And so the family is now claiming this hospital came, propped her up, made her look fake alive, you know, alive, but maybe hooked up to the machines with the, okay, so this stuff is still working. But they made her look fake alive so that the family could come in and make a determination to terminate life support when life support wasn't needed because she died 2 hours earlier.
That's just bad, in my opinion. I mean, if those facts stand, that is just not really good at all.
You know, I'm wondering, well, did they come in and on life support, did they come in and was there a machine that showed, did they get the typical, despite the fact that you can, you know, hear the breathing apparatus for her and you see a heartbeat, she is brain dead, there is no brain activity. If that was the case, were they playing the heartbeat on a loop?
They must have, because she had no heartbeat. Her heart failed after that surgery.
Did they have some nurse? Some nurse hidden underneath with, okay, we're just going to put up, we're going to put this up to your wrist. And, they come, oh, she can't be dead. Why? Well, because when we walked in the room, the nurse got nervous when people come in the room. The heart rate sped up, so she knew we were here. No, dang it.
I mean, the ventilator will make her chest go up and down no matter what. I mean, you know, the breathing will appear that it's happening from the ventilator, but no heart. How could they do that? And I suspect, Todd, that somebody somewhere said, they're lying on this paperwork. Somehow this came to light. I mean, but don't you think that there was some kind of, what's the word we're looking for, they say in government when a guy comes out and tells tales out of school? Whistleblower.
A whistleblower?
Yeah.
That could be.
Well, I think that part of it is they thought the doctor was trying to cover something up. And the doctor supposedly wasn't qualified to do this type of operation. He had a bunch of complaints, and I don't know how he got, you know, credentials to operate there, if that's the case, at a hospital. But I think that's kind of what triggered the investigation into the doctor that performed this operation.
Oh, yeah. The doc wasn't qualified for that procedure is what you're saying?
Well, yeah.
That must be a big deal.
Could be.
Yeah.
It could also be, shocker, a mistake in the medical record.
No.
Here's a big instance when it happens. You get somebody that declares time of death. Let's say the time of death was 3:05, and somebody decides to use military time. Well, it's time of death, 15:05 hours. That's 3:05. That's 3:05 is 15:05 hours, right? But then you got somebody that doesn't really know military time. Okay, well, is it 15:05? Do you subtract that? And they write down 1. Instead of 3:05, because they converted the military time wrong, right? I read not too long ago. I read a medical record. this was hilarious. This is the time travel MRI, because I read a medical record that was written in February of like 2021, and in the medical record that was dictated by the doctor in February of 2021, the doctor says, I reviewed the MRI that the patient brought with them to the medical procedure, the MRI that was performed June 15th, 2021. How did you review a June MRI of 2020, in February of 2021. I mean, did you watch Inception?
And like, hey, Matthew McConaughey, if you're still there, tell me what the MRI says, you know?
Would somebody be covering for this, Doc, or how could this have happened inside a hospital like this? This just concerns me. You know, it sounds like there's some kind of little plot to cover for the doc or to make sure the hospital doesn't get sued for causing a mortality on a fairly routine procedure. I don't know. What do you think? It seems kind of weird to me. Very weird.
Yeah, if the facts are true and they really did, let's just assume the medical record's correct and they really did put time of death at 1 o'clock and then 3 hours later, you know, or 2 hours later, they have the family come in and, you know, take them off life support. I think that's a huge issue.
Yeah.
You know, that's assuming that's true, but I've always been told, you know, change the facts, I'll change my answer.
See, and we were talking a little bit ago about how difficult it is to get an intentional infliction of emotional distress claim. I think those facts would be one that may give rise to it. Because if you knew she was dead at 1, and then you did all of this
shenanigans.
That wasn't negligence. You intentionally did all of this to bring a family in, and you intended to do all of that, and the likelihood that the family's going to find out is pretty high.
Yeah.
And you know, how distressing it would be as a family member to think, you know.
Now you have to make this decision. Do I pull the plug or not?
Yeah. I don't know.
If the facts hold, it's disgusting. If they're not, then something. I mean, somebody somewhere came up with a plan. I know. Let's just pretend she's alive. They'll never figure it out. Somebody came up with that plan and thought that was. It's like a bad plot in a Lucille Ball comedy, except for the death part. You know, I mean, a dumb plan, right?
And one of those things where you make the reference to the bad plot in the movies almost every time. Almost every time I was watching the show Suits.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which drives me nuts from the legal inaccuracies, but watching that, and almost every plot in that show was, you know, as uncomfortable as it would have been, telling the truth in that scenario would have almost always been the better option, and would have led to a lot less pain than what you're experiencing right now.
Well, they always have dirt on someone so they can blackmail them, because that's how accurate law is.
Yes, you always have to do that. What are other ones? We've shifted from the dead body to Suits now, but the other one, the judge called the other side. The other side went to the judge and got the trial moved up to tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? There's no discovery protocol to discover. Look, the incident happened a week ago. How are we already in trial?
Yeah.
All right. So we're through hour number one. Come back for hour number two and three. If we're not on your radio station, you can go over to RadioLawTalk.com and pick things up for us. And if you have any contribution or want to, you know, chime in on something, you can hit us at 1-855-529-7234. That's 1-855-LAW-RADIO.
Stay tuned. As Todd said, Radio Law Talk continues at 6 minutes after the next hour. All you have to do is stay tuned wherever you're listening, either to many local radio stations that take care of the show, or if not, at RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be back.
Listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
All right, crew, let's get her done.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site.
You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.